This is message two of the conference in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalms 120 through Psalm 122.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Now we come to see the first song of ascents. That's Psalm 120. These three psalms tell us about the initial experiences of Christ as a Christian. We, in our experience of Christ, we ascend stage by stage. I hope that all the brothers and sisters would improve, would go on. But here, the Psalms show us for a Christian to grow, you have to know about yourself as well. A person who sees the Lord, a person who touches the Lord, would all prostrate oneself. No matter who you are, whether you be Moses, or Daniel, or John, on the island of Patmos, when he saw the Lord, he just fell to the earth. When Paul saw the Lord, previously, Saul thought he was so strong, opposing the church, and he did many things. But once he met the Lord, he fell down. In Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the throne of God, what did he say? So, woe unto me. Have you ever said to yourself, woe unto me? Or do you bring woe to others? You bring trouble to others? If you have never said to yourself, woe unto me, or I'm in trouble, that's not good. When Isaiah saw the throne of God, he said, woe unto me. What kind of trouble was he in? He said, because I am a man of unclean lips. Whether a person is clean or not, how the inward situation is, you just need to listen to this person speak and you would know. Whatever you bring over your lips express the inward condition of your heart. Isaiah said, woe unto me. Not only are my lips unclean, but that I also dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Everybody's the same. Do not think that because you believed in the Lord, you won't be like that. You see, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, the people who had the most unclean lips were the religious people, the Pharisees, the high priests, the scribes, they spoke the most lies. It's very dreadful. It's truly so. Let's not talk about others. Oftentimes, we ourselves are like this. It's very dreadful. Take a look at the beginning of the Song of Ascents. In the very beginning, it begins by saying, I cried unto the Lord in my distress, and he heard me. O Lord Jesus, I heard many people call on the name of the Lord. Of course, calling on the name of the Lord is right. But it depends on how you call on him. Is your calling just out of habit, out of your throat? Or do you cry out to him from the depths of your being? Here we have Psalm 107. You may go read it. It mentions several times about the calling, because they truly needed the Lord. They were at the end. They could not go on any further. He didn't just call on the Lord, 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 I'm very comfortable, I'm driving my car. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I don't dare to say that that's not a good thing. But sometimes it's without any meaning, because you're not calling out, crying out to the Lord from your deepmost being. You do not have the feeling that, Lord, I truly need you. Lord Jesus, I truly need you. That's why here they're crying out to the Lord from the depth of their being. A person who wants to grow in life needs to know that we need to cry out unto the Lord, because you realize that you are no good. Your person is no good. For a person who thinks that he's doing very well, he does not need to cry out to the Lord. The other people are always wrong. If I were such a person, would I still need to cry out to the Lord? If you would live before the Lord each day, and you receive the shining of the Lord, then you would realize that, Lord, I am a pathetic person. I am a useless person. I cannot do anything. A person who thinks that he is very able is truly unable to do anything, because we are fallen. We cannot do anything that the Lord wants. That's why Paul said, it is not I, but Christ in me. I cannot make it. I am dead. Paul said, there's no good thing that dwells in my flesh. You still think you're still quite good? That's not right. Oftentimes we do not realize how fallen ourself is until you lose your temper and you express what's truly in your heart. Your flesh comes out. And then you would say, Lord Jesus, how come I'm like this? That's why it tells us here, Save me, Lord. Save my soul. It just now was mentioned in the Thai translation, it says save my spirit. Actually, it says save my soul. Save my person. From what? From lying lips. Now, to whom do these lips belong to? Do those lips belong to somebody else, or are they your lips? Do you have lips? Yes? Now, whose lips are these? Are these lips from somebody else? Did not James say that our tongue is terrible, very dreadful? Have you not seen this? Have you read this? Oh, well, probably not, because you seldom speak to yourself. Our lips are all fallen, unclean. Save me from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The tongue is really deceitful. You know, sometimes we admire people who can speak well. You speak too much, especially if you speak a lot of idle talk. Did the Lord Jesus not say that every idle talk will be judged? Let's not talk about saying something, some bad things about others. Even idle talk. Every idle talk will be judged. Would you not repent? How much idle talk have you spoken? And how many bad things have you said about others? Whatever you should not speak, you said a lot. You're loose in your speaking. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're not able to control your tongue. That's why this is not a description of other people, but it describes your own tongue. You don't need to teach a child to lie. The child will learn to lie by itself. It says, when you went to school, did you eat well in school? He says, yes, 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 but actually you didn't eat. Did the parents teach him that? Did you teach your children to lie? No? Would they lie? Then who taught them? That's why it's lying lips and a deceitful tongue. It hurt yourself and also hurt others. What will the deceitful tongue do to you? Don't think that our speaking will not be recorded. Oh Lord, may the Lord have mercy on us. In the church, we should not be loose in our speaking. At home, you should not be loose in your speech either. Even speaking with your wife or your husband, Don't think, oh, we've known each other for so long, we can speak loosely. Don't do that. If you are a person who has learned the lesson spiritually and you have spiritual growth, you would speak less. You would speak less. Especially those who speak for the Lord, those who minister the word, much less can you be loose in your speech. Because you speak on his behalf. If you can be so loose in your speaking daily, when you come to speak the Lord's word, you will also be loose. That is why, may the Lord use the coal, the burning coal from his altar, to cleanse our lips and cleanse our tongue. O Lord, save me. If you grow in life, you would control your tongue. What you should say and what you should not say. This is important. That's why it says, what shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? That means to say you have to learn to deal with it. Don't just say, oh, I just said it, and I just said it, and it's okay. If you're like this, you do not repent. You do not learn and practice that will bring in the judgment. You do not deal with it. Lord, save me. I said the wrong thing again. You know, the person who said a lot of wrong things, or the person who's made a lot of mistakes in his speech, was Peter. Oftentimes, there's something wrong, and we don't dare to speak out. But then what we should not be saying, we talk a lot. That's why it says, save me from lying lips. Let's take a look at the outline. Sorry, there's a mistake in the Chinese outline. The verse in the Chinese outline is incorrect. The citation is Hebrews 5 verse 7. It's correct in English. Because this verse speaks of our Lord Jesus when he became a man. He also needed salvation. Don't think that he's the Lord Jesus and he doesn't need to be saved. When the Lord Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Even our Lord Jesus had to cry out to God to come save him. How about you and I? Do we not to cry out to God? It's because we're too loose. You think that it doesn't matter. We're too loose. That's why you need to realize here, God hates the lying lips. Let's read Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 6. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood, The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Verse 6. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. The Lord abhors them. The Lord abhors them. Our Lord is holy, and He's righteous, and He's a glorious God. He never lies to people. He never deceives people. Here you see the devil, Satan, he's the father of lies. That's why if you lie all the time and you're loose in your speech and you deceive people, and you have lying lips. Tell me, would God like that? The Bible tells us that He abhors deceit. Because when you lie, you have something to do with Satan. That is why in John chapter 8, that Abraham is not your father, but Satan, the devil, is your father. Because he's a father of lies. He is a murderer from the beginning. Besides, he's a father of lies. So do not think that it's okay to just speak a few lies. What did Paul say? It's yea, yea, and nay, nay. And beyond that, it comes from the devil. All the yeas and nays are half-truths. They do not come from the Lord. Oftentimes, we do not know ourselves. May the Lord shed His light upon us. We need to seek the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Lord, come save me. Save me to the uttermost. That's why, brothers and sisters, you get to know yourself from your lips. May the Lord have mercy on us. This is our old man. It's speaking lies in hypocrisy. Colossians says it, Ephesians, and the same with 1 Timothy. If as Christians today we still speak lies, this problem with your spiritual life. Besides, if you lie and you have no feeling, then you have even a bigger problem. You can still sleep well. Then I'm afraid. You have pretty good fellowship with the father of lies. May the Lord have mercy on us. Truly so. That is why Psalm 120 begins like this. This is a basic lesson for a Christian. This is a basic lesson. Lord Jesus, then what? Then we need the judgment of God. Here it speaks of judgment. Let's come back to Psalm 120. What's going to happen to him? What shall be given to him? If you see that you have such a problem yourself, what are you going to do? I am just a person like this. What am I going to do? You really feel sorry for yourself. And you just say, oh, it's okay, and just let it go. I'm just like this. This is this old me. You can't change. No, no. You have to learn. Like what says here in the Psalms, what shall be given to you? You is actually referring to me. What shall be given me? So, if a Christian receives light from the Lord, you should not say, okay, just forget about it. What shall be done to you? That means to say, do not just give up and let go. No. That's why here in Psalm 120 verse 4 it says, sharp arrows of the warrior. The two things are mentioned here. The sharp arrows of the warrior, and also with coals of the broom tree. The sharp arrows of the warrior. Are you a warrior? Are you brave? Or you give yourself a pat on the shoulder and said, it's okay, I don't need to deal with this. If somebody is just loose in the church and just talks nonsense, are you a brave warrior, or are you, as an elder, you just say, okay, okay, just forget about it. It's okay. Do you have a sharp arrow? Can you just shoot your sharp arrow? Puck. The church needs a few brave warriors. But if you are a warrior, you also need to practice your archery. Otherwise, you cannot shoot your arrow properly. If you're not a warrior, don't think that it's easy to pull a bow. If you don't have the strength, you cannot pull your bow. Perhaps you just pull your bow a little bit, pull the string a little bit, and the arrow will just fall down. And you cannot hit the target. When the elders use the bow and arrow, the arrow just drops to the ground. Besides, if you do not aim correctly, I don't know if you ever tried a bow. It's not as a child. It's not easy. It's not easy to pull a arrow. You have to train. If you do not practice, there's no way for you to hit the target. So even if you know how to pull your bow, you still need to hit the target. I've really seen in the past few years that there were many lies, but they were not able to shoot it. They don't dare to draw their arrows, and they don't dare to speak. They say, where did the brave warriors from the church go? There are no warriors. No brave warriors. Everybody just drops their head and cover everything. Where are the brave warriors? At least you have to behave like a brave warrior towards your own lies, but you don't even dare to deal with that. And you let the lies continue to be spread as rumors, right? Brothers and sisters, we all need to be warriors, brave warriors. Do not be a person who does not dare to speak. Yes is yes. What's right is right. What's true is true. You have to be very clear. This is how our Lord is. Paul is like this also. It's not yay yay and nay nay. It's not like that. But it has to be according to God's word. You have to deal with things according to God's word. You cannot be so spiritual to the extent that you're even more spiritual than the word of God. You don't care about the spiritual principles. If a person can be so spiritual that he can go beyond God's word, that doesn't work. So if we do not exercise like this, when you read the word of God, you do not get much out of the word of God. What you read is just a bunch of teachings. And then talking about the lying lips, about the lies, and about your deceitful tongue. Are you not full of deceit? You need to deal with that. So, first of all, you need the brave warriors. The brave warriors, the arrows of the brave warriors. And secondly, here it says you need the broombush. With coals of the broom tree. And NIV says, with burning coals of the broom brush. Broom bush, sorry. This broom bush burns easily. This is God's dealing with you. On one hand, man should deal with it, but on the other hand, God also judges. That's why in Isaiah, when he saw himself, that he had unclean lips. So God told the angel to take the coals, burning coals from the altar. You know that if our lips are burnt, it really hurts. Do you like to put coals on your lips? No? But there's no other way. There's no other way. Don't think that if you use some aloe vera on your lips and then you will not lie anymore. Without the coals of fire, are you afraid? You can say any old thing. You can say something that's right, something that's wrong. Even if you say the right thing, your attitude is not right. And in the end, even though you may say the right thing, you're still wrong. Amen. That is why, on one hand, we need the brave warriors. On the other hand, we need the burning coals from the altar. That is, that the cross of our Lord Jesus needs to deal with you. Do not think that it's easy to talk about the cross. If you truly know the cross, then you will not be like this. If we all know the cross, we will not be like this. It's very simple for you to carry a cross on your necklace. People like to carry a cross, a crucifix. Do you want to carry it in your heart? Oh Lord Jesus, the burning coals from the altar, you all need that. Without this, you cannot change, and there's no salvation. That's another point, which is a big problem. Roman numeral 3. The sufferings of the godly and peaceful people. Are you a godly person? Are you a person who exercises godliness? Do you fear God? A person who does not fear God A person who is not God-fearing will be loose in his ways. Are you also a peaceful person? In the church today, we are children of God. Children of God should be a peaceful people, people who love to make peace. We should not be a people who love to quarrel. Do you like to make peace, have peace, or do you like to be fighting with one another? If you quarrel and make a lot of noise, you have a very loud voice. Is that a lot of fun? He says, all the Chinese have a very loud voice. If you don't believe it, go to a restaurant, you listen. Oh, they're all so noisy. If you go to the U.S., if you go to the restaurant in a foreign country, you notice that it's all very quiet. But in Chinese restaurants, you cannot have any fellowship. If you want to have fellowship, you should not go to a Chinese restaurant. Brothers and sisters, in the church, we should be a godly person, and we should not be loose. Do not be loose. You want to pursue the Lord. If you want to grow and you want to ascend, and if you're a person who is in your spirit, but if you live in your flesh, you are a person who are desirous to quarrel and to fight with one another. That is why here it says, what was his trouble? What was his suffering? That is why you see Psalm 120 is really very meaningful. Here it actually describes our person. He says, woe is me, in verse 5, that I dwell in Meshach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. The first point, talking about the speaking lips and a deceitful tongue, is not speaking about other people. And now the psalmist says, where does he live? He lives in Meshech. He dwells in Meshech. And I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Then you say, fine, fine, let's just move. Where are you going to move to? You want to move? Your tabernacle today is your body. If you want to move, you have to move into the grave. You have to go to Hades. That's where you can move to. But you cannot move today. Meshech refers to a wild tribe. Don't you think that your flesh is wild? You think that the Germans are all so calm and humble? Or do you think that the Chinese are more meek and everybody is smiling at you? Right? And the Germans are fierce and the Chinese are always smiling? You're wrong. You're wrong. If they get fierce, they're worse than you are. Everybody is so wild. Tell me, aren't you wild? When you get mad, take a picture of yourself. Nowadays, as the phones, you can also all take pictures of yourself. When you're getting mad, losing your temper, take a picture of yourself and take a look at yourself. Everybody has smartphones nowadays. You're taking pictures every day. When you're fighting with one another, take a picture of yourself. You belong to the tribe of Meshech. You're a wild one, a barbarian. I've seen this. I've seen others like this, and I've also seen myself really looking like a wild one. We're wild. Besides, here it says of Kedar, the tents of Kedar. The people of Kedar lives in the tents in the wilderness, in the desert. They're very dark because they live by the Jordan and they live in tents, and it's very hot and sunny, and so they have a dark complexion. Toby, are you a white person or a black person? You are a black person of the white people. We're all black. Do not think that you are pure and you're white. No one is white. We're all black. Your natural tabernacle is black. It's dark. It looks white on the outside, but actually it's black. Now, are you a person who loves peace, or are you a person who loves to fight with people? Tell me. Tell me. Do you love peace, or do you like to pick a fight? In your spirit, you love peace. But if you're in your flesh, you love to pick fights. If you don't understand yourself, there's no way for you to grow. Although we are saved, and we have the life of the Lord within us, and this life loves peace, But we live in our flesh, and our flesh loves to quarrel. So it says here, woe to me, woe to me. This is really like Romans chapter 7. I do what I should not do, but I do not do what I should do. There's so much conflict within oneself. If you do not ascend and you remain in Psalm 120 and you do not go upward, if you love Psalm 120, you can stay there. Then there's no way. Do you want to stay there? No? Are you sure? If you do not ascend, you will just remain there. Do you want to remain there? Or do you want to ascend? You need salvation. That's why it says here, I have lived long among those who hate peace. You cannot leave them. You cannot run away. So now what? Isn't this a suffering? It's really a suffering. Unless you don't care. It's okay. You can lose your temper so you feel a little more comfortable. This is not a doctrine. This is the experience of each and every one of us. We've been a Christian for so long, but we don't change. We do not ascend. The Lord has waited for so long, and yet you do not ascend. That's why it says here, it says, I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Isn't this the case? Who loves to fight? But as soon as you open your mouth, then quarrel begins. It's better that you not speak. As soon as you speak, a fight begins. So it's best that you keep your mouth shut. Then there's no quarrel. But it doesn't work if you don't say a word, but as soon as you speak something, then there's a quarrel. It's really a suffering. It's really a suffering. This is like what Paul said in Romans 7. Oh, Lord Jesus, what should we do? That's why he needs to be a person who calls on the Lord. So in my distress, I cried to the Lord. Do you call out, cry out to the Lord? Say, Lord, Paul says, wretched man that I am. But you don't feel the suffering, then what? If you don't feel that you're really suffering, then you don't need to cry out to the Lord. That's why you progress. Then he goes on. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Then it's Psalm 121. Because the mountains are a bit higher. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills or to the mountains. You have to go up there to a higher place where God is to receive his salvation. No one can save you. No matter how spiritual they are, they cannot save you. From whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? You have to ask yourself. You have to speak to yourself. Where does my help come from? Who can help me? Paul says, Oh, wretched, woe unto me, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body of death? Don't you cry out in suffering? You still think that you're doing very well? That's why. Now you have to see whether your spirit is a stronger part or whether the genes of Meshach and Kedah are stronger. Who is stronger? Here it says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No one can change you. Good messages cannot change you. Knowledge of the Bible cannot change you. You have to go to the living God. You do not touch this Almighty God, this living God. No one can change you. You have to see this clearly. Who can change man? Only the Creator of heaven and earth. Though your Maker. Only He can save you. Only He can help you. Now, this word is not simple. Where does the help you need today come from? It doesn't come from the meeting. It doesn't mean to say you should not meet. It doesn't come from fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Oh, brother, I need some fellowship. He may give you some word of encouragement for 2 days. And the third day, another explosion comes. There's only one person who can help you. Don't you believe that? Lord Jesus. We have a few verses that we wrote here. Let's take a look at them. The Almighty Creator is the only source of our help. Let's not look at the rest. Let's just take a look at Let's first take a look at Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help comes. From our Maker of heaven and earth, He is our only help. He created the whole universe. Can He not help you? Now let's come to Psalm 146. Beginning with verse 3, do not trust in human beings or princes. Here it says human beings, that's mortal men. There is no help in him. Do not trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. This is NIV. That's why I say that they can only lead you to the grave, right? Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Because he is a maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, he remains faithful forever. When you read towards the end, you can see that he can save you from all kinds of oppression, all kinds of situations. So, on what would you rely? In the church today, what are you going to rely on? Do not misunderstand me. I do not mean that we do not need the brothers and sisters. I do not mean that we do not need fellowship. Ultimately, all these cannot help you. Fellowshipping and giving you a word of encouragement, that cannot help you. You have nothing to do with this maker of heaven and earth. Here's a pastor, and here is a maker of heaven and earth, these two. If you have a big problem, whom are you going to go to? Are you going to go to the pastor? Or do you go to the maker of heaven and earth? Tell me, where does your help come from? Who can truly help you? In the end, he will harm you. But it's only the maker of heaven and earth that can truly save you. We all have to be a little smarter. Gradually, you would know. No one can truly help you. You all have read about the 10 virgins, right? 5 were prudent, 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. And at the resurrection, they didn't have enough oil. The foolish ones didn't have enough oil in their lamps. They went to the wise virgins and says, "Oh, please help me, help me." Could they help? It says, "Fine." They say, "Fine, fine. I'll give you half of my oil." Were they so good? They say no. Otherwise, it's not enough for you and me. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters. We know so many brothers and sisters. So many churches. And we see so many problems. Do you think that we have the ability to help? The more I help, the more I realize that I cannot help. Do you think if you just sit down and pray a little and the problem goes away? The only help you can render is to tell this person to go to the Maker, the Creator of heaven and earth. There are many problems that we cannot help. Do not think that we are so spiritual that we can help. It doesn't mean that we don't care. But we have to bring them to the Creator of heaven and earth. It doesn't matter whether you are a king or you are a common person. Let's go to Psalm 60, verse 1. We don't need to go elsewhere. There are enough verses in the Psalms. 十一节。Verse 11, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. The second half says, for the help of man is useless. Useless. In English it says worthless. It's not worth a penny. Useless. You think you can help. In the end, you see that it's useless and worthless. When I was younger, I thought, oh, okay, I can come help. I'll help. Now I don't dare to help. What do the Chinese say? The more you help, the more work there is. The more you help, the busier it gets. Better not help, just pray for them. Don't do anything else. Let's read one more verse. Psalm 118. We have to see that the help of man is useless. Lord Jesus, is it Psalm 118, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire of those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Also verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Amen. This is what the Word of God tells me. Man is not trustworthy. Man is not to be trusted. Man is also helpless. Truly, man is not able to help. That is why, brothers and sisters, our help has to come from God. Why? Now let's quickly come to Psalm 121. Although it's very simple, but we have to read it carefully. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Would you fall asleep? If you fellowship for half an hour, then you say, oh, I'm tired. I'm tired. But come back tomorrow. I'm tired. And tomorrow, if you're tired, then what? If you have no time, then what? Or if you're too busy, then what? You've got so many things to do yourself. Can you really help somebody else? You cannot even solve your own problems. You still want to help others? Even trying to help yourself, you fall asleep. You still want to come help me? Who can help you? I only know of one person who does not fall asleep. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. See, I'm still learning how to pronounce words in Chinese. Buddha. Do you know of a brother who does not fall asleep? One that never slumbers? Morning, night, in the middle of the night, he can always come and help you out. Here it says, verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. NIV says, he will watch over your life, and the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Not just today, but from this day, this time forth, and even forevermore. He'll preserve you from what? He will preserve you from yourself and from your flesh, and preserve your lips. And preserve your spiritual life that it will not be harmed. You want to grow in your spiritual life? Then you need to experience the salvation of Christ daily. In the book of Hebrews, it says that he can save us to the uttermost. Do you have such a prayer? Lord, save me to the uttermost. Not just a little bit. I want to be saved to the uttermost. Isn't that right? So you see that in Psalm 120, there's a big problem. But in Psalm 121, there's a salvation. Our salvation is the maker of heaven and earth. And this evening we'll see a step further. In the third psalm of this first group, it speaks of Jerusalem. It speaks of the house of the Lord. Because without such salvation, how can you build up? You'll always be fighting with one another. That's why Psalm 122 speaks about the building up. Without salvation, there's no building. If you cannot leave the lying lips and the deceitful tongue, and the wild flesh, and the fallen self, and the dark tents of Skeeda, and the unrest, and the where there's no peace, and there's no fear of God. Do you think there can be building? Nothing can be built up. That is why if there is no salvation today, this is a salvation of life. There's a salvation, redemption of the cross. There's also the salvation of life. There's a living God there to save you. Where does our help come from? Go before the Lord and read this. These three psalms. We'll continue this evening. Amen.